This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You gotta let it hit that post just a little bit. It's a Friday, man. You gotta let them roll.
It is?
It is.
Yeah, I'm happy about Friday.
Yeah, DGS Friday. Dave is out today just for a long weekend. Nothing crazy going on. The rest of us are here. Hi, everybody.
Oh, hello.
Hi, rest of us.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello.
Good.
What's new?
We were having a really nice day today. We talked a little bit of politics early on.
Oh.
And then we moved away from it completely.
Oh.
It was kind of nice.
Here's what it was. A lot of politics. A lot of baseball.
Uh-huh.
And then football and some random stuff.
Yeah, I saw that you guys did the picks. We got Bernie Miklas coming up later, so we'll be talking a lot about the Cardinals. Dave Murray, of course, going to join us. Sua, too. We got all the rest of us here for today, and basically going to be a normal Friday.
Let's ask. I got a bone to pick with Dave Murray.
Oh, okay. I thought you could say Dave Glover. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you should have waited for him to be here.
I know. I should have waited.
Always got bones to pick with Daves.
I do.
That's what I've noticed. Anybody named Dave?
Who are the other Daves?
Oh,
we all know.
Yeah.
I heard it's supposed to be in the 80s next week.
Yeah.
What?
Stop it. Dave Murray is supposed to not let that happen. It's almost November.
God, you're right.
It's November next
Tuesday
week.
Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, 83 is a high.
And isn't that November?
Not even close.
November
1st is like Friday.
Today. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Not even close.
Tuesday
it's 2 days off.
Yeah, that's close.
It's not even close. It's 48 hours later.
Well, it's a binary number, so yeah.
Not even close. So you are falling in line with QAnon then, right? People are controlling the weather.
Yes.
The weather people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Dave Murray does claim to control the weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. If weather people actually control the weather, wouldn't they be right more often?
And wouldn't there be a lot of weather fights?
Are you saying
there's no way they would agree?
Yeah,
are you saying, Dave?
You got storms going across back and forth.
How do they all get in unison?
I got a low pressure system. Well, I have a high pressure system. Let's fight.
There should be meteorologist fights.
Like,
aren't there?
Like actual fist fights.
Oh,
I don't think fist fights. I think it would be fun to have some scandals.
Scandals.
Well, we don't want to do any meteorologist scandals around here. We don't do well with those. Mm-mm. Anyway, how is everyone? I feel like I'm the only person who knows what I'm talking about, and that's perfectly fine. That is. It's perfectly fine if I am. Yes, I would like to.
I think I know. I just didn't think of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well. For the olds out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
The olds.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So this is a previous generation.
We can't, Kevin.
No, it's okay.
I really shouldn't have opened this up.
I'm not. What? Listen, dude, that's like
I immediately regret it.
Your brand is opening things up that we shouldn't talk about.
But then I regret it right now.
You've done
yeah,
so
your
many
brand,
things.
Your brand is upsetting everyone, including yourself.
Yeah, I have absolutely upset myself right now. If we could just move past it. Rachel, anything to say?
Everyone not driving right now is Googling.
Right. Don't.
I'm just watching the talk over Kevin's head here, and they're all supporting the Dodgers, except, of course, Jerry O'Connell is the contrarian wearing a Yankees hoodie. So I'm sure they're having a wonderful conversation about that.
It's about time that one of these underdogs gets a little bit of pump.
He gets inspiration. I will say, I know everyone, you know, not on the coasts. It's like, oh, the Dodgers and Yankees. And I get it, like two big market teams. And I did see a sign where it said, I just hope both teams lose, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think I'm rooting for the Dodgers, though. I went seven games because that's going to be fun. But I find myself pulling for the Dodgers, partly, too, because I have some close friends who are Dodgers fans. And they're not like bandwagon L.A. fans. I think people think of Dodgers fans like Miami Heat fans, but they're real lifelong Dodgers fans, deep roots, and it, I don't know. So I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing because we do this anytime you get the big markets together and people are like, oh no, does this mean that the sport is always going to be about the big cities? And I'm like, did you not know that in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, one team dominated the whole sport?
Yeah.
Like the history of this sport, that's the past.
These two teams haven't played each other in a series in 43 years.
Yeah, since the late 70s they haven't played. And let's be honest, too, like, the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers won one since the 70s.
COVID year.
And it was a shortened year.
Yeah.
So it's, and again, it's not totally invalid, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
I think we all would agree that there's a little asterisk there.
And history buffs, I have to add this. This is also why the Dodgers, when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers, they're called that because they were the Trolley Dodgers. Because there were guys like running in and out between all the trolleys. That's why they're called the Dodgers. I think that's adorable. What?
It
of course
is.
You do.
I heard
it
that.
Is. It
is. It's adorable. The Trolley Dodgers. Rachel, have my back.
It's nice.
Office.
It's nice.
It's cute.
I know that's right.
I'm just laughing at Andrew. I heard that.
They're cute. It's the Trolley Dodgers. How can you not love that? Anyway,
it's
fine.
Fun.
Be that way.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
It is one of those things that we did this. We had the same kind of scare, if you will. It was all the headlines in 2000 when we had the Subway Series. So when it was the Yankees and Mets, like, oh no, here we go. And at that time, when I was doing all sports radio, and I got to interview Ernie Harwell. All right, Ernie is one of the great broadcasters. He's the Detroit
Jack Tigers.
But he also grew up rooting for, I can't remember which team he rooted for as a kid, but he said, I asked him about this when I'm interviewing, because he was doing radio, I think, for the World Series. And I asked him about this, and people are really abuzz. What do you think? You know, what about this? He goes, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as the good old days. He said, when I was a kid, we grew up, we knew it was either going to be the Yankees or the Dodgers, but it was mostly the Yankees. And nobody else had a chance because only two teams made the playoffs, one in each league. So there's no such thing as the good old days. It was always that way. And he said it's way better now. And one of the things I think people our age-ish, you know, probably not so much Andrew and Rach, but the rest of us, you know, the 80s were a unique time in baseball in that there were no repeat champions. It was always different teams. It was the Twins, the Cardinals, teams that weren't the huge market teams that all ended up winning World Series. So the 80s were kind of an outlier. The 90s were more like all the previous generations where it was almost all Yankees, you know, especially the second half of it.
And the Braves.
But then since then, right, and the Braves. But since then, it's really been wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the last 20, 25 years, and that's because of the wild card, because more teams get in, so it's a little less exclusive. But I don't think there's a problem with where the sport is, and I don't think there's ever a problem when some of your most important stars are going to be on the biggest showcase. I mean,
no, this is people root
deal
for the underdogs all the time, and they want the underdogs to get in, which is cool, and I do like that. But this is one of those years for sure. This is great for baseball to have all of these people, the biggest stars in the game, actually playing in the most important series, because it does happen in other sports like the NBA.
Yeah.
The NBA has always got the best players at the end for the most part.
Always.
I mean, there are a couple of teams that will
very
squeak through, but usually
this is
it. And it's great that baseball finally has that, because also two of the best players in our lifetimes all played for the same team, both played for the same team, and that team stunk. And it was the Angels. They had Shohei Ohtani and they had Mike Trout on the same team. And those guys never went to the playoffs at all during their time. I think Trout went once. That's it.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, LeBron's always in the playoffs. Giannis is always in the playoffs now. Steph Curry's always in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But this is it's a very different sport. Yeah. So it's great that these two teams have gotten to that final series.
Every once in a while, it's great. If it were all the time, it would be bad.
Well, kind of like this. I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I kind of like when a dynasty pops up. I think it's fun. People love to cheer. People love to hate. A dynasty kind of provides that dynamic. Like with the Patriots, they were a dynasty. The Chiefs are obviously, I think they're a dynasty already, even if they don't win another
Super Bowl.
But they are a dynasty. Yeah. When the Pittsburgh Penguins had a chance to win three cups in a row, I was rooting for it because it's kind of fun to have a dynasty. And then, of course, they fade away. It's very rare to have a dynasty. So I don't mind it. I know parity is what people want, but or at least the owners say they want parity. But I think it's fun because it kind of has that hero villain. When you have a dynasty, you automatically have an underdog. Like, it's fun.
Well, to me, the best thing for any sport is change. It's not the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. If it's always chaos and it's always parity, that gets boring. If it's always dynasty after dynasty, that gets boring. It's nice to have, which is why when I'm talking about this with friends and people like, oh boy, the two big markets, this is going to suck. Like, no, it's actually going to be great. It's going to raise the profile of the sport. You're going to have rock stars and movie stars and TV stars at all of these games, and it's going to get annoying because you're going to be seeing shots of them, but it's going to raise the profile of the sport.
Yep.
Not to mention the fact that the biggest baseball star in the world is probably Shohei Ohtani. And that means that while the World Series always gets worldwide attention, it's going to get even more than usual. It's a good thing. It's not going to be good if it's 3 years in a row. By the third year in a row, it's like, okay, you got to let other teams get a chance, but for this one, enjoy it. It's going to be fun. That's Friday on DGS. Dave taking a long weekend. He'll be back on Monday with the rest of us. And, of course, you don't want to miss the early part of next week, because we'll be doing Halloween on DGS. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody. No disrespect to Ron and Amy. I don't think you guys do Halloween as well as DGS does Halloween.
Yeah, we don't really do anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, we
no fun.
Yeah, you're no fun.
Boring. I mean, I like ghosts and stuff, but Amy over here.
No.
Amy, do you like ghosts?
No. Huh.
She doesn't like ghosts, she doesn't like ghouls, she hates demons, she doesn't like fun, she doesn't like graveyards, she doesn't like skeletons, hates bones, doesn't
like
bats.
Skeletons?
Hates pumpkins.
What about candy?
Hates
pumpkins.
Yeah, she hates pumpkins.
You hate pumpkins?
That can't be true.
She hates pumpkins. All she does talk about all stupid pumpkins.
Ron's gaslighting all of us.
This guy's spitting truth all day.
How do you feel about corn mazes, Amy?
Oh, you know, that is a great question.
No, it's not. How do you feel about them?
I don't know, because I don't think I've ever been in a real one.
Hates pumpkins. Pumpkins are always at corn mazes.
She's like,
that's why she doesn't like them.
She's like, hang on, there's no pumpkins in there, is there?
Yeah, are there pumpkins? Because
if there's not, we can talk.
This truly,
you never been to a real one?
I don't think so, because like when I was a kid, you know how the kid corn mazes, they're not that tall, mm-hmm. right? The parents can still look over. I think that's the most I've been in.
I've never done a corn maze.
I think I do. That tells me maybe I do corn mazes too much, because I do like several a year.
You do?
I don't want to say anything, but I've never met anyone who loves to go to the corn maze as much as Andrew.
I think I do corn mazes too much.
I think I might do way too many corn mazes in a year then.
Do you think you do?
Are they always available?
3 to 4. No, but it's a seasonal thing.
You do up to 4 corn mazes a year?
Yeah.
Where do you find them?
Well, there's the various fun farms around the state.
Do you go by yourself?
No.
Okay.
I'm married, Chris.
Well,
some of us have
maybe
people.
She hates them.
Some of us have people we can do things with.
Okay.
What is fun about the corn maze?
Just getting lost out in nature. You know what I'm saying?
So have you ever gotten scared where you had to put up the surrender flag? Do they have a surrender flag in case you get stuck?
No, I'm almost 40, so I don't really. It doesn't scare me to go into a cornfield. But no, I you just walk around and you soak in the atmosphere. You know, you smell the corn.
Smell the corn. Yeah. You know what they say? Stop and smell the corn.
Look up at the.
Soak in the atmosphere.
Look up at the stars.
He turns the corner. He's like, oh, there's fresh corn around this corner.
Aren't they like the most simple mazes ever?
It varies.
They're just straight lines.
Yeah, you just kind of like.
I think there's
no.
Some
it's just
really
a straight line.
Ones.
You go straight. It's like you look. It's a tunnel. No. It's not a maze.
Last
it's a tunnel.
Weekend,
it's
no, just the corn well, walk. Last weekend when I went to the hog races and there was a corn maze there.
What?
Yeah.
And there was that was a trickier one. That one was hard. But part of the reason that it was hard is because there's these stupid punk kids.
Do they let the hogs loose
stupid
in the
pumpkins?
Punk kids.
Oh.
Which is a whole nother type of squash. And they have no respect for the corn. So they just go barging through, messing up the trails, messing up the maze. And then you accidentally go through one of their little shortcuts, quote unquote. And now suddenly you're more lost than you were before because you can't follow the map anymore.
Huh. All right.
Wait,
well,
there's a map?
Well, hold on a second.
That's not a map.
Shut up.
Wait a minute. That's not a maze then if you get a map.
Shut up. A map of clues. This is that. See? This is why I told you all to hang on, because there's more to the story.
Go the opposite of right. Is that the clue?
No, I don't know what the clues are, because I don't use the maps, because, again,
I'm just in there to wander.
You're a grown person.
I'm just in there to find my way.
A grown-ass man that goes to corn mazes for you.
You go to the maze, you're like, I'll get out when I get out.
Yeah, not all who wander
are lost. The long term.
If I had a corn maze, I would have a barrel full of optional surrender flags, so that way people could go in, and if they get bored or lost, they can raise the flag. And
yeah, they all have those.
Them. They do?
Yes, they all have those.
You gotta be, what do they helicopter in to rescue you?
I don't know what they do, because I don't
lower
I've
the
never...
basket.
Can you please surrender in your next corn maze so we can see what happens?
Well, the corn cops come and get you. Which is the name of the people that
the
work
corn
in the
cops?
Are you serious?
I am 100% serious.
They're called corn cops?
Yeah.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
They're usually like a disaffected 15-year-old.
Yeah. I know it.
Have any of you guys done the corn maze before?
Probably when I was 10. Yeah.
As a child. Okay. I never did them as
a child. I'm so sorry that I feel so bad for you guys that I'm the only one who knows how to have a good time.
None of you believe in magic. You don't get it.
You don't get it. You don't understand wandering around the corn maze and being like, this is the life.
If this is having a good time, what do you do the rest of the year? Because corn mazes exist for about 4 weeks.
I find corn maze-related things. You know what I mean?
No, if you have something, actually. I don't
know. If you
what
have
you mean.
Something along the same, you know, hedge mazes, etc.
Where are those?
There is a hedge maze somewhere in St. Louis.
Is it a knee-high hedge or a higher hedge?
It's a higher hedge. It's your classic hedge maze.
Classic hedge maze.
I'm not going to ask Amy this because I know the answer. Rude. But what about the seasonal haunted houses? You guys do those? Not the actual
like
houses, but those scare ones, the jump scare ones.
Yeah,
did you do those, Rach?
I did one once. I did it like to make a video for the radio station, and I was very scared going in because I just don't like stuff like that.
Don't like jump scares.
The girls I was with were somehow more scared than me, so I ended up being like I'm like, let's just get through it.
You're
like
the hero.
I just kind of grit my teeth and.
Love it.
Got through the haunted house. I think it was the darkness, and it was very
darkness
scary.
Yes. Darkness is a good one.
Yeah, it was.
In
I mean,
Soulard.
It was fun, but I was pretty scared the whole time.
I have a.
Or stressed,
nah.
I should
no?
say.
Nah. Amy?
Not my jam.
Should I ask?
You don't need to.
Not enough corn.
Best one near me when I was a kid was if you made it through to the end, it was free.
All the
but there's like, but there's like 10 exits that you can choose if you're just lost or you're scared or whatever. I made it through.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's Friday on DGS. Dave's taking the long weekend. He'll be back on Monday. The rest of the gang is here. Sue's going to join us. Sue Thomas will join us at 2 o'clock. Sue at 2. Dave Murray later on. His normal spot, 3:30. Bernie Miklas will join us at 4 o'clock. And obviously all kinds of things mixing and matching in the middle of all of that. All right, so away from corn mazes for a minute. I'm guessing I didn't hear it once I got in, so I didn't hear anything once I got in today. But I don't know if you guys did. You guys touch on the Washington Post story that broke this morning?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring that up to the group because
about the editorial
page.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know the story, the Washington Post is joining a lot of other publications, including
Times.
The LA Times, in not endorsing anyone for president this year. In the case of the Washington Post, it's being reported that. The editorial board had chosen and had written an article saying they were going to endorse Kamala Harris instead of Donald Trump, but that Jeff Bezos is the one that made this decision. The story in the LA Times is that their owner, also a billionaire, made the decision, not the editorial board. Hmm. And I got two different tracks I want to get all of you guys to chime in on. One is whether or not news organizations should be making endorsements, period. Because I think these are separate questions. They're completely separate. So let's start with that one. The other one, to give you the sneak preview, is you know whether or not this in and of itself is kind of an endorsement in the form of a non-endorsement. In other words, we normally endorse the conservative candidate, but we just can't, so we're not going to do anything. There's two parts to that. I don't know which one you guys want to do first.
Well, I don't have a problem if they let's tackle them both.
Yeah.
I think it would not take anything away from me if they decided, if all newspapers decided no more endorsements.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
No, I think it's
I don't need it.
It's a thing of the past. It's the editorial board.
It's the editorial board.
It's not individual reporters. It's the editorial board.
Which is separate from the journalists.
But it's still the same journalistic entity. I know there's a different standard for columnists and
but some people don't. Some people don't really separate when they see an editorial column.
That's my point. Right.
They don't separate that. Oh, this is just the news.
It's the same entity. Right. Right.
Right. Right. So it's different. I don't care if they don't do it. If it should probably be universal then, as opposed to we've done it since 1960, but now we're not going to. My issue with this one in particular is whoever you're endorsing, if it is because of, and it was the former editor at the newspaper today said he's hearing it's because Jeff Bezos is worried that if they endorse Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, if he gets elected, is going to take it out on him and it puts some Amazon government contracts in jeopardy. If that is the case, that is craziness. And I understand it. Amazon employs a lot of people. You don't want to lose lucrative contracts. I fully get it. But either you run a newspaper, which is supposed to be independent of everything else, or you don't. So we either have newspapers that aren't worried about business interests that have nothing to do with the paper. Amazon has nothing to do with the Washington Post. I mean, other than they're owned by the same guy.
Yeah.
But they're not the same thing. So if you're making decisions because you're afraid of what could happen to your other company, that is really, really bad.
Amy, you have thoughts?
Yeah.
Either of those angles or both?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about should papers endorse a candidate, I think like when I was younger, I'm like, well, that's kind of weird that the editorial board will endorse a candidate. But I also get it because No, even if a newspaper's editorial board doesn't endorse a candidate, you kind of know which way a paper might lean. While there are the reported stories, like by the journalists saying, here's what's happening in Ukraine, you really know it more by the majority of the opinion pieces.
The columnists,
columnists, which is why you kind of know the Wall Street Journal leans right. And you know the New York Times leans left. So it's never a surprise who they endorse. When it comes to a businessman or businesswoman, owning a newspaper, that's generally who owns the newspapers. But because, as you pointed out, money has so much influence in politics that if you are a business owner, whether it's Amazon or Facebook, you have to have relationships with both Republicans and Democrats because you need to be profitable and viable and get as much as many tax breaks as you can, no matter who's in charge. It's why Mark Zuckerberg got an office in Washington, D.C. He worshipped Bill Gates. The first time he met Bill Gates, he said, well, you're making Facebook. You need an office in D.C. The problem occurs when like a Mark Zuckerberg or a Jeff Bezos buys a newspaper, which then you have an ostensible conflict of interest between the newspaper and the businessman.
He shouldn't be allowed to own it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So like I said, you could kind of argue about, no one's surprised when the editorial board does this or that. But I know businesses. I mean, that's why Big Pharma gives tons of money to Republicans and tons of money to Democrats, but they don't own the Washington Post.
But basically what has happened here is a major news outlet in the country has basically said that in order to you can nudge us to do something that we probably otherwise wouldn't do because we're afraid of how the president is going to operate if that person gets elected.
How it's going to impact our owner, though. Not so much just even the paper, but how they're going to impact the owner.
But that's the message the paper has now sent.
Right.
They're basically saying that a candidate for office can influence how they're covered by threatening that newspaper.
Because that's
a really bad spot to be in as a country. Because part of us doing this whole democracy thing is having a free press.
Yeah.
Right.
And independent, free. Yeah.
I believe, and that's why I was looking just to verify. But I'm pretty sure that Jeff Bezos personally endorsed Kamala Harris. like he himself, this is not like a tacit, like Elon Musk, right? A billionaire who supports Trump. Because at first I thought, I think a lot of people could see it that way as, oh, is Bezos a Trump supporter? Well, no, I think
he just doesn't want the smoke.
That's right. I think he's like, well, I got Amazon to run, so let's just back off. But I think that is a bad signal. And that's why, like I said, if money is going to have the influence, then you better be careful who owns your newspapers.
How's that hit you, Rach? I mean, the two of you, you and Andrew, I mean, I know I refer to this, the age is a little different. See, before, when you guys have grown up in the era of a lot of cross ownership and a lot of the media rules about cross ownership not even existing, because starting in the 90s, they started eliminating the rules. There used to be rules where you couldn't do these kinds of things. You couldn't own a certain number of newspapers. You couldn't own conflicting media outlets in the same market. All of those things have been stripped away. So you guys have grown up with this being the case. How does any of this strike you?
It hits me on one level. It's like, okay, I don't care who a paper endorses. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my decision in any way. So if they choose not to make an endorsement, I'm like, great. Like, who cares? But for the reasons you guys are listing and, you know, the fact that I guess I'm just more disturbed by the fact that Donald Trump is such a bully to the press, that this is where we're at. He's been doing this for 8-10 years now. Like, he will get on Twitter and specifically call out the Washington Post if they say something that he doesn't like. I just find it to be incredibly sad and scary.
So they've allowed themselves to be bullied is what's happened.
I mean, that's what their former executive editor is saying. His name is Martin Baron. He said, this is cowardice, a moment of darkness that will leave democracy as a casualty. I mean, on one hand, I see why they make the decision to play it safe. But if everyone starts playing it safe all the time just to not make Donald Trump mad, that is really terrifying.
And I will say, too, I wouldn't, you know, because their whole like democracy dies in darkness. I get it. But to be clear, we are talking about an official endorsement, because if you read The Washington Post, which I subscribe to and read it, it's not like they're afraid to say anything condemning Trump. They've got the Pinocchios, you know, the lie detector, you know, after each debate, calling out all the lies. So the reporting, because those are the individual reporters, that is still what The Washington Post has always been. It's primarily this editorial board endorsing a candidate, because... Again, it's important to make that distinction.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say democracy is going to die. So this is what I don't understand. This is what confuses me, even though I mean, Jeff Bezos is not a stupid person, but if he's personally going to come out and endorse Kamala Harris, and the coverage is what it is, what difference does it make what the editorial board says?
I don't know.
Well, then it's also possible, we have to acknowledge, that the former editor could be wrong in that.
Right.
He could be wrong in saying this is about Amazon. Right. We don't know, but I'd kind of trust that judgment, because even though he's not the editor anymore, I'm certain he knows people there still.
And here's the thing. When he left or was fired, I think he was fired, the new publisher who took over, I think it's William Lewis.
Will Lewis.
He was, you know, ran a right-leaning, you know, British tabloid, basically. So if the new publisher is conservative, because to be completely honest, my first thought was it was the publisher's decision, not Jeff Bezos. It wasn't until this came out that I thought, oh, that makes sense. So technically, like you said, we don't know exactly. I thought maybe it was that new publisher who thought, we're not doing this.
It cannot be the case. Whatever happens ever moving forward with any newspaper, any news outlet, it cannot be the case that one of the candidates has bullied them into doing something or not doing something. That is, to me, a very big deal.
Yeah. And even if it's indirect, right? It's not, this isn't necessarily a direct, if you do this, I will get you. It's just more of the general
vibe. It's implicit.
Right. It's more of the general vibe of the conversation. Does it hit you any sort of way, Andrew?
I 100% agree with Rachel. I will never be influenced by, I feel like, pretty much any endorsement ever. That's never going to make like a difference to me, so I don't care particularly who they endorse. But I agree that if we have like if not journalists necessarily, but relevant media voices who are afraid to directly say, yeah, I don't know, I'm not going to vote for Trump because Trump has created an environment of and very openly has created an environment of, oh boy, if I get back in office, I'm getting such crazy revenge on all your asses. I think that is the bigger issue than who a newspaper does and does not want to endorse.
Because I would agree. Like, there was probably a time before the internet, before social media, before all of the info was out there, where an endorsement from your local newspaper probably meant more to you than it would now. Mm-hmm. Now it's basically irrelevant.
Now it's quaint.
You're not changing anybody's mind. Everybody know anybody that cares who's going to vote is not going to go, well, I was going to go one way, but the paper went the other way.
I suppose, though, it could be that the way elections have been for 25 years now, that they're decided by so few people, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
That it could matter to just enough.
And I will say this. I actually like reading the editorial endorsements because the editorial boards of the top newspapers, they not only have the resources of the best reporters in the country, the most access in the country, but generally these are people who communicate for a living and they can lay out really concise and clear arguments. I find them helpful. Even if it doesn't change my mind, I want to say, I want to see the New York Times reasons. How do they lay it out? Even like the National Review or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, like when they make an endorsement for mayor or county executive, they actually, I believe their editorial was against Sam Page for county executive. And I would say, like, in those cases, and I know I'm an anomaly here, but I do like to read clear arguments for or against someone. And that's helpful. It may not be a game changer, but it's helpful.
I would say this. Endorsements in local and state races are probably more of a big deal.
Yeah,
because I agree. There's a lot more nuance to following them. Presidential really politics knows? Is so big. Everybody has an opinion already.
Probably that's don't true. Follow the local races
that's
as,
right.
as hard. Yeah.
Right. Got a warm stick drum all the time. All right, TBS on a Friday. Let's go from presidential politics and endorsements to the serious stuff. Ask your question, Raj, about leftovers.
I got Chinese food.
Yum, yes.
Yeah, on Monday evening.
What can you tell us what it is?
It's a chicken. I've forgotten. It's been so long. It's Monday
evening. One order of chicken something.
It's a chicken something. It's some kind of chicken.
Okay, like Kung Pao chicken?
Not that. It's
chicken
not
broccoli?
That. Dude, can I
fried chicken?
Can I eat it today?
No. So it's what, no. What day did you get it? You got it Monday.
Monday night.
Monday, okay.
Today is Friday.
I think
this
the
has
fact
been...
that you can't remember what it is a very bad sign.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
You said it was so
No, I don't remember the... I just know it's chicken
right.
with, you know, vegetables.
Let's go chain of custody, though, because this to me matters. Did you bring
you
it with you from
you
a restaurant?
It?
Yes.
Or did you order DoorDash and have it
No,
delivered?
No, I went and picked it up.
Then you should eat it.
I picked it up.
What does that have to do with it?
Because it's the amount of time that it's out at room temperature.
Is it in the car?
So if it was in the car or sitting on the counter at a restaurant waiting for someone to pick it up, and it's an hour or 2 hours, that to me shortens the shelf life of it.
No, it was very hot when I got it home.
Yeah, so if you're bringing it from a restaurant yourself and bringing it home, eat it. You're fine.
4 days is well within the circle of safety.
Yes.
I would eat it.
Yes.
It's really 3.5 days because tonight will be 4 days.
Eat it for lunch, Ranch.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
You have my endorsement.
I'm a no, but it
Why
seems
are
like
you
really
no?
want to eat it. I just don't after like one day.
Oh, okay.
That's
crazy. Yeah. All right. If you ask the Google machine says 3 to 4 days.
So this is day four.
I would do two unless it's pizza, then I might do three.
I always what?
If the pizza is in a Ziploc baggie.
So now I'm getting what's going on here. You guys are on the extreme end of throw it out.
Yeah,
very quickly.
I will say,
I'm on the other extreme. I'm like, it's fine.
So
are there any normal people listening? Let me know.
If it's not blue, it's fine.
So here's I think I'm normal because I don't like cut the mold off of things and eat around it. That's disgusting.
You saying I do that?
Well, not necessarily. Sometimes dads do that kind of thing. It's kind of a dad move. It's fine. Cheese
Jacques Pepin does that.
Cheese is mold. Cut it off. Okay.
Amy is revealing, not to get into everything, but Amy's revealing that she has some very curious thoughts about some of the people in this room.
Well, no, it's a dad move to cut the cheese off of things.
Cut the cheese.
I did. Cut the cheese. Cut the mold. Mason jar is more of the extreme, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
If it looks good, yeah, it's fine. I am, for me, pretty much anything within, depending on what it is, but within 5 or 6 days, I'm good. Like, I'll eat leftover six days later.
I feel a little better.
A week I toss it, but I will say 100%, like if it was like Monday to Monday, I'll throw it away on that Monday, but Monday to Saturday, 100%.
Yep. Ranch,
all right.
Enjoy that for lunch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Have fun.
Hey, the weekend's coming up. If you get sick, you're fine.
No!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.